You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity, because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. I lack common sense. I'm not common, and I prefer Venmo instead.
I don't have to call the paparazzi on me. The paparazzi calls me.
Okay, let's, okay. I get it.
They call me to see where I am.
Oh, I love that. Yes, I'm into that.
Doesn't really
No,
flow
the paparazzi
as well, but
has your GPS.
Exactly.
Because you're always front of mind.
I'm so everywhere. I'm so Julia. They want to know where I am. Hard to keep track. You know, it's a bad tagline because you have to explain it, but.
No, but that's every tagline that I do. At a certain point, honestly, I don't know how it's possible that I haven't duplicated many times over at this point.
I try to, when I come on the show, I try to do it like based off what's happening on a show, it's hard. I know, but you know.
There's no.
I didn't really deliver tonight, but you know what it is.
You know what? I am very excited for this convo ahead. You guys, it's Andy Scrolls. It's episode 579, 580. We're creeping up into the sixes. I have no...
Impressed.
You know what? Thank you so much. And I have no idea what I want to do for six because honestly, my life changed when Shan came to the cloth. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you need new dreams. I need to dream again.
You know what? You maybe just re-air that episode.
I should, in honor of episode 600, you should have taped
like a separate like 6 minute thing with her and
yes.
aired it.
But you know I should tell her come over and I'll
record send me a 6 minute voice note. Send me a 6 minute voice note. Maybe one of those ones that you used to send your castmates drunkenly at night, and we'll just air that. You know?
Yeah, I'll remind her of that. I'm sure she'll really appreciate that. So anyway, guys, it's Andy's Girl. So excited to have a return guest back on the pod. You know him as the host of the podcast, Gabbing with Gib. Have I said before that I love that title?
Maybe, but thank you. That's really nice of you.
It's very fun to say out loud.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's like filled with light and I'm here for it, as is this person. Welcome back, Gibson Johns. Gibson, how are we?
I'm fabulous. You know, you're working up to 600. I'm working up to 100. So I'm just following in your footsteps. So it's, you know, yeah, it's been good. It's been good summer.
Love.
You know, but now we're back into the routine. We want to get back into the routine of things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good.
You've traveled. You went
to... too much. Yeah.
You went to... not Luann style. You didn't go to rehab. You didn't go to prison. But you did go to Greece.
I did go to Greece. I go to Italy.
Oh.
Yeah. Overspent.
Did you? On what part? Traveling? Food,
yeah. It's just
shopping?
Sort of like, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to book like the cheaper flights. Like, I'm going to do the easy jets of the world. Mm. But then just like... you're just hit with like, you know, 50 euros here, mm-hmm. 60 euros there. And then just, you know, the July statement was tough, but we're going to watch our spending for the next couple months.
You know what? Usually my first and last days on vacay, because the first day I'm like, oh my God, I'm here. Nothing matters.
Right.
And then the last day I'm like, money doesn't exist in America. So if I'm traveling outside the country, I'm like, oh no, you have to max out everything. Otherwise, this trip has not been a success. And then I get home and I'm like, where the money go?
For me, like my style is more like when I go out to eat on vacation, I'm just like, I'm going to order whatever I want. I'm not going to think about it. But then everywhere else, I try to be a little bit more frugal. But like, I don't know. It's tough. But I don't regret any of it. I loved my trips. And so I'm just going to... I'll work it back. I'll do some extra writing on the side.
We'll
figure it out. You know.
That'll pay for a glass of wine. The media.
Literally.
The media industry's doing great.
These rates these days. You guys don't even fucking know.
It's tough. It's tough.
It's brutal out there. As Olivia Rodrigo once said, it is brutal out there.
Oh,
yes.
My God. You know, I had had this dream of going to Paris, back to Paris, where I've been twice so far this year, for a month in the fall. And then things happened, yada, yada. But I have decided I think I need to make that dream still happen.
Okay.
But the problem with timing is now I'm creeping up into the part of fall in Paris when I would go where it's like really rainy.
Mm.
And I love Paris any time of year, but I do like to walk everywhere. And I would love if it was like giving a little fall less rain.
Yeah, yeah. But that's hard to control.
I know.
So you're taking a chance.
I think I am. I was back on, God forbid, I was back on just a couple different sites, a couple of those apps looking
right.
for a place to stay. And it's really, really tough because you don't know what it is that you're like showing up in. And people have gotten screwed before, especially if you're going for a seemingly like, I think a month is a long time.
That's a long time.
Right? To be in Europe. So it's like, if this place, if you show up and this place is like a piece of shit, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you got to pivot real quick and then you're spending more money. So
yeah.
A month?
I know. I need to do it. But the problem too is that when you look at places, it's like booking for long-term stays. I'm like, oh, great. Then I put in the dates and they're just charging you as they would for a day rate, but for 30 days.
Which is crazy.
So it's literally like, oh, it's like $7,000.
There's no long-term discount.
No. And I thought that there was going to be
right.
one, but a lot of these places genuinely, there's no difference.
They're just they like, they don't have to give you a prorated thing.
It's
wild.
But I think I need to do it. I think it's just one of those things for my journey in life. Like, it's hard when you have a goal or idea or a dream, because then I feel like if I push it back,
have I given up? But sometimes the timing just isn't right. So trying to figure out
the timing will never be perfect. Right. And so that's why you just kind of have to like take the leap, I guess. You can find a subletter. Maybe that will help. I don't know. Like
for here?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody's staying here.
Why not?
Because I mean, we're in the office right now. Do you think I trust a single person with
not a friend of a friend or somebody?
No.
Okay. That would help pay for the month long stay at a non prorated place.
But
I understand it, but some of my friends are so good at finding fucking subletters and they make so much money off of it. Even they'll be gone for a weekend, they'll find somebody to stay and they make a good amount of the rent back. So it's just something to think about, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. I think I would be too stressed out. The cost of like however much I could get for a month versus the amount of anxiety that would leave me. Are they lighting a
candle?
You'll
be across an ocean and you'll be like, what are they doing in the closet? Right.
Are they having a few people over? Nobody is allowed. You're barely allowed. Like, I don't know, you know, sleep on the couch, like locking doors and rooms and stuff.
I hear you.
But I also think that this is the time. I mean, I was at a dear friend's baby shower this weekend, and it was just one of those moments where I just like saw this person who's growing in their life. Mm-hmm. He's achieving these incredible dreams, and my dreams are different. Like, I don't look at my future or my goals as including a like child, mm-hmm. but I do want to go to Europe. I would love to be back home still. Period. Like, that's my... So
yeah, I'm a man, but I'm similar in that way. Like, I don't... That's not how I envision that kind of thing for myself versus the other life.
Do you have... What do you think when it comes to relationships and stuff? Do you have a dream situation? Romantic?
I'd like to find someone, but... And that's what I picture. I don't know if I picture children in my future. Mm-hmm. I picture a dog, a little dachshund, but not by myself. I would have to have somebody to help me take care of it, like a partner. But yeah, that's just what I picture. But like, I'm not on a timeline. So mm-hmm. I'm just sort of like, I'm not desperately seeking one. If it comes along, it comes along. That's sort of my mentality.
I was having this conversation with my mom the other day because genuinely my lifelong dream since I was a child was to have my own dog. And we have our Shih Tzu, our sweet King Chester, who's 16 and a half.
Wow.
My mom's like, we're not getting another dog. I said, you fucking are getting another dog. My brother wants a dog. I said, our house just needs a dog. It's just one of those houses. We just need to have that energy.
Sure.
We need to have that space. They become therapy dogs for the family. It's just wonderful. Dogs are literally the best. So my brother was like, yeah, you could adopt one and find one that's... I say get a dog. I have sort of no interest in puppies. I want to rescue a dog like a couple years in, has its personality set, is looking for a home. There's nothing better that you can do in the world.
It's just so hard
in
the city by yourself. It's just very hard.
Well, that's what I said to my mom. I was like, yeah, this will be great. Like, I think I would get a dog if my building changed. There are very strict rules. Mm-hmm. And I would just kind of like... leave him or her with you. And she just looked at me like blank. And I was like, no, this is
fun. If she won't get the dog, then you guys can share custody. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I said. And she was like, what? Why would you? I was like, ma'am, you've always had dogs. We went from a German Shepherd to a Shih Tzu Poo. Like, let's get some sort of furry little monster.
Listen,
my
siblings do that in DC with my parents. My parents have four dogs, and my siblings will drop off a fifth when they go away. So,
well, I also have to say that if you are not following your unbelievable Instagram, the way that you present family dinners, like the tablescape, the food, it's all my mom.
It's her vision.
Was she always one of those people who just really was a caretaker in that way? Because there's
a lot of
warmth.
Her love language is gift giving. Like she loves that. She loves hosting, but she doesn't love hosting big parties. She just likes having big family dinners, basically. She loves giving little gifts. Like, that's just what she loves to do. And also, it's, you know, especially during COVID, honestly, cooking family dinners like that, that was just sort of like what brought us together, you know? So it was fun. Yeah, we just kind of continued it. So I'm glad you appreciate the content.
I do appreciate the content. And there's some other content that I appreciate. I recorded a Patreon episode that's up now with my live reaction to the Salt Lake City trailer. And I also talked through New York. Mm-hmm. Trailer came out yesterday. What was your experience watching? What were your hopes after weeks of us being told it was on the horizon? Weeks and weeks. So did you have high expectations going in, and were they received?
I had very high expectations. Mm. But I also knew that there was a lot of pressure on this season to just see how they would potentially follow up what happened with Monica at the end of last season without Monica present. And it delivered, I think. Like it to me, you know, we obviously haven't seen the season, but the trailer, it's like, how could the season not be good based on that trailer? There's so much interpersonal drama, some of which is expected, some of which is unexpected. To me, it just proved once again that these core four women, plus Mary, plus Angie, can mix it up and change up their dynamic better than any other cast right now. And they just know how to do it in a way that's like, it doesn't feel super inauthentic or forced. Like, they just like know that's part of the gig. Like, Mary and Meredith having a falling out, like Angie and Lisa having a falling out, Whitney and Lisa continuing their fallout that started at the end of last season. It's giving what it needs to give, I think. And I like that we don't have some big crime scandal, seemingly, that is happening. Like, I think they had to prove a couple things, that they could deliver a good season without Jen Shaw, without Monica, and without some major calling card, like ripped from the headlines appeal. And I think this trailer is promising that they're able to do that.
You think about Salt Lake, and those have been crazy hurdles, not just even what do you do without Jen Shaw, but how do you survive knowing what Jen Shaw was capable of, both in how she was incredibly destructive on the show and also obviously the fraud that she committed IRL.
Of course.
So now we're in this new era, and it does feel like the last several years, there has been a lot of pressure on these women, and it's just so well cast.
Yeah.
There's just something about...
They struck gold.
They really did, and the energy is right. And Lisa Barlow...
Bar legend.
She could exist anywhere. Like, I could definitely see her making waves in Miami, for example, but she's perfect in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith, I don't know how I feel about Mary being back full-time, but Meredith and Mary falling out, no disrespect, but I'm thrilled by that. Like, I want to see that. I want to see if Meredith really kind of sharpens her claws and goes in for the kill, because she could. Meredith
totally.
Marks is so fucking good. When
yeah,
she
she's
goes
amazing.
Like
yeah.
full litigator,
yeah.
I don't know if she will.
When you cross her. Yeah. Well, I think it's even just seeing the little clips that we saw of them yelling at each other and kind of ripping that relationship open. It's actually kind of refreshing to see, because I think they sort of had this, like, not alliance, but like Meredith was Mary's kind of savior and sort of connection to the group for the past couple years. And she relied on her. And I think Meredith looked the other way on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that she knew that she had to sort of serve that purpose for the show and for the cast. And I'm, you know, Mary being back full time kind of takes that pressure off of Meredith, honestly, and kind of, you know, let it fly, you know, and I'm so curious to see if it's who kind of swings first. You know what I mean? Like, is it Meredith, you know, ripping the Band-Aid off? Is it Mary betraying her? Like, I don't know. It's intriguing.
I wonder if the fallout happens because, God forbid, Meredith disagrees or uses her voice and says, like, I have an opinion and you're not going to like it because it's not saccharine sweet. And she might be kind in saying whatever she says, but it could be honest. And Mary does not handle honest reality well.
Yeah. I think Mary, out of her friends, she wants complete blind loyalty, no criticism, no hard truths. And, it, you know, if you're Meredith, somebody who is of this earth and like lives in this universe, you know, she's going to eventually need to like say some of that stuff, I think, at least.
So who do you think was the person that they were talking when they said like arch nemesis, enemy?
I have no idea. Like, and that's seemingly a conversation between Heather and Whitney. That's at least how the editing makes it seem in that voiceover. But like, who is the sworn enemy that maybe potentially Whitney reaches out to? I don't know. And she says our sworn enemy. So it's not just hers. You know, it's somebody who they both, or who Heather and somebody else had as, you know, as a common enemy. So I don't know who that could be.
I mean, I think Jen is the obvious choice, but I think the more realistic one would be Monica. But I would also question saying sworn enemy.
I don't think Heather would call Jen her sworn enemy. And I don't think that they would want to bring up Monica if they could help it.
So who else could it be? Oh, just like a random
somebody
person?
Else. They both. I mean, they have a long shared history.
That's true. Family. You know? It could be family member. Somebody from LDS Church.
Yeah, 100%. It could be somebody that has been really critical of Heather for speaking out and writing these books and whatever. Like, it could be. I think it could be a number of people. It could be somebody we don't know who they are right now.
And also,
I bet you it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also the secret recording. If we are now in the era of someone secretly, I know that I should be like, oh my God, that's terrible. But also to me, I was like, oh my God, that's wild.
Yeah. Like, you know how I said before, like, there's no big crime or mystery or whatever. That could be it, which honestly is so compelling to me. It's like, of course, these women have a secret recording scandal happening. And of course, it's like Meredith who has to contend with it. It just feels right, kind of. And just like, you know, talking about those voiceovers at the beginning where they mentioned this recording, where they mentioned the sworn enemy, the way they're yelling, even, it just feels like they know how they're supposed to be yelling in these moments. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, Heather gets the voice that's the receipts proof timeline voice. Meredith gets into her sort of deeper register. She's like, I am disgusted. You know, like, that's how she, it's the theatrics. And they lean. These women lean into the campiness of housewives in a way that just works so well for them. They know what sort of their archetypes are, you know?
But when does it cross that line of feeling performative and fun versus like you're just playing a stereotype of yourself? You've become a character.
I think on Dubai that happens a lot. I don't think, okay. I mean, I'm sure it's happening on Salt Lake, but I think that like, some of these women just can't help themselves. And that's what makes them such good housewives. Like, even if they are trying to be a certain way or whatever, the facade, they're all down to rip the facade off of one another. And I think they all know that. So like, they can only fake so much. Cause I think that this cast has shown that like, they will unearth anything. They will bring up any receipt, anything from your past, and they'll use it against you on the show. Cause they know how the game is played. And they've all kind of like agreed to that, I think. Like, I don't think there's that much on this cast. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you feel differently. Some casts, it feels like there's the vault, right? There's the vault that like, they all might know about something, but you know, it's off limits for the show. Beverly Hills has alluded to that. I think New York has that kind of, the new New York. But on this cast, I'm not sure that really exists.
In what way?
Like, I think they all like know that like, if they tell each other anything, it's fair game to be brought up on the show eventually. Like, because I think a lot of these friendships are kind of fickle. Like Lisa and Whitney were friends for, you know, a year, maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either of them told, like, I think both of those people knew that friendship was maybe potentially not going to last. So like, would they tell each other their deepest, darkest secrets with the threat of it potentially being brought up on the show? I don't think they were telling each other that kind of stuff.
That's a really good
point. You know
what
I mean?
You know, that's a really good point. And I think the only thing that might be in the vault is like whether or not I like that person. I don't think
totally,
it's like my husband
totally.
Might be stooping his secretary or like,
yeah.
I'm worried about my kids.
Yeah.
I think it's really like I would.
They're talking shit about each other,
right.
But it's more like anything else that's like deeper in the closet.
Yeah.
That it would make a good storyline and be good for the show to bring out. I don't think they're telling each other that stuff at this point.
Like, I think that there has been some vault era stuff with Whitney and Heather, just in terms
for
of
sure.
we seem like we're really aligned and really close, and that might not entirely be true. And so then the opening of the vault of like, oh no, now we're having problems with each other. I think that it's sort of an opening of the door that maybe they were both aware, maybe we're not really as close as we're pretending we are, as the show has set us up to look. And then when the vault door opens, it all kind of falls apart.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true of them because they were so close before the show too. Like there's more they know about each other. Maybe that was a little bit true of Lisa and Meredith for a couple of years before the show. But ultimately, I think a lot of these women just really got connected because of the show. And so like anything that happened before can be hearsay, can be like, I wasn't the one that told you this. They're going to people and they're, I just think that like, it feels true of this cast in a way that I think is okay. Like I'm okay with that. Cause it keeps it interpersonal, you know?
I think that Lisa and Meredith were genuinely close.
I think so too.
I think that they were closer before the show than Heather and Whitney.
Oh really?
Yeah. I don't, that's based on nothing. But I just kind of like instinctively.
But they didn't know each other for as long.
Yes, right. But also I think the difficulty with Heather and Whitney is that we were told going in that it's like they're cousins. And then you think, oh, we're going to get a dynamic like New Jersey of these people are literal family members. And sure, they're technically biologically related, but they weren't showing up at family events. They found out that they were connected through their family lines at like a cocktail event.
Yeah, I just like in my head, like they go back so far. You know what I mean?
They do. Okay. Maybe they did. Casually, but I could be 100% wrong. Genuinely, I just don't get the sense that they were as. I think they became closer through the show. Mm. I think that, you know, conversely, Lisa and Meredith grew apart because of the show, but were closer for sure. prior.
The show has come between both of those friendships. Mm. But like one of the things that I was really happy to see as part of this trailer, and also I was kind of paying attention to who was commenting on which posts that they were all posting yesterday. Meredith and Lisa. They are good weather, baby. They are, commenting hearts on each other, replying, we got this, love you. They're back together. And I think they're so much better as a duo, as friends than enemies. I loved their friendship season one. I hated their fallout because I'm so drawn to them as housewives. And so I'm just excited for their dynamic to get back onto good terms and like really, I don't think they'll ever fully trust each other again, but it seems like there's a, ultimately, they have a lot in common, I think. Not a lot, but they have some things in common that I think makes them a natural pairing.
Totally
agree. More natural than Lisa and Whitney or Meredith and Mary. You know what I mean?
Totally. Meredith and Mary, I just don't.
Yeah, don't buy.
I just don't believe it. I believe that they were friends, but I don't believe that they were close. I actually don't even know if they told us they were close. I think the whole thing I kind of questioned, but
I believe that Meredith sort of like threw Mary a bone and was like kind of more sympathetic to her. Because we saw she did the same thing with Jen Shaw after being very critical of her. She let Jen back in. So I think that's sort of a characteristic of Meredith. It may be, I don't know if it's like, you know, I don't know if it's just like overly sympathetic or sort of a motherly thing that's like sort of different that, but she let both of them back in. So I don't know.
I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation?
It's not just water, it's Fiji water. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
I'm really excited. Also, the really fact excited. That it premieres before New York.
Yeah.
In September.
Yeah. Well, that speaks to maybe they're recutting that trailer or something. Like, you're right. Like, there was a lot of whispers about when we were going to get that. And it's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. Something changed. But I got into this on the live reaction. But the way that it opened, and we just watched it again right before we started recording, it was giving me like Netflix crime drama. And I don't know if it was a docuseries or limited scripted, but there's something about it with like the fucking full moon. And then the shot of the church where I just cannot laugh. I have to laugh every single time I watch it because it's so dramatic and funny and it looks rich.
Yeah, it looks expensive and rich.
It
does. And like, there's something that just like they lean into like the snowy motif of it all. That, you know, there was that pre-trailer avalanche clip that had some of their words over it. And like, you know, there's an avalanche coming or like there's whatever it is. And it's like, there's the choral music that they play. And it's just, they lean into the drama on this show in a way that no other show does. It's heaven. And like, it's the only one with the wintry thing, which I actually think the wintry religious church thing, and those just add an extra element to it. It just does. It's heaven. It's heaven.
It really is. The only thing that I have, it's not a criticism.
Okay.
It's not even a concern.
Okay.
I'm just saying that Bronwyn 2.0. Bronwyn with an O. The costuming outfit stuff with someone saying while she's like walking toward the screen that this woman has impeccable style or something. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing a little bit of a sort of we're playing Sex in the City movie when I wish you were doing series, where at least Carrie in the series had style, where it was like a moment and fun. And sure, is it escapist? Absolutely. But the movie was like Halloween. I'm getting a little Halloween energy in this woman's taste.
It's like, it's a little, and I love me some Chanel Ayan, but it's a little bit sort of like, and I love a big glam moment. I love a look, but it has to be for the right time. It takes you out of it when you're walking to go get coffee in a 3-piece yellow designer hot pants bra top jacket moment in downtown Salt Lake City. Like, that just doesn't really make sense to me. And it just feels like that's something that like Erica Jane would wear to like a confessional or maybe like a formal event that somebody's hosting, but not to go get coffee. Like, even Erica Jane, we'll see her in sweats. Even, you know what I mean? Or we'll see her in just like jeans and a top. Like, And it just, it doesn't have, it has no effectiveness if you're wearing something like that to every single time you're, to every single event you're filming at, even if it's just getting coffee with one of your girls.
And I realized while rewatching the most recent Orange County for the 15th time that one of my favorite things is when these women go away for like a night or two and it's to a house.
Totally.
Because then we get to see it's nobody so knows informal. How to light a match. Nobody. And I don't know how either to like light the little oven thing or what's that called? The little what's
the igniter or whatever.
Whatever. Well, we don't know. We're New Yorkers. Like with the charcoal.
Grill?
And stuff.
The grill.
The grill. Sorry.
The grill. Heather's mini grill. Yeah.
I mean, for with the charcoal and like the lighter fluid. I would not be within
I'd blow
4 miles
yeah.
of that. It would just, I would just be way too neurotic. And them all looking at each other and be like, we have no idea how to do this.
Oh, beyond.
I absolutely love that dynamic of we're not dressed up. We went in Shane's truck. We went to Jack
Big Bear.
The Box or something. And then versus Big Bear.
Oh, yeah, they
Bear.
Went to get fast food, whatever. Yeah.
And not just because obviously Shan, but the group of women, the dynamic environment, I would absolutely prefer. I mean, spoiler alert, spending the night in a $9 million gorgeous, stunning
Palm
house
Springs.
Than going to Big Bear, which was also like Tamara's house. I thought was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice house. Yeah, for sure.
But I just love that kind of weather. I prefer that kind of vibe. And also they just feel so relaxed. Like the way the tension was happening over the meal. And I'm like focusing on the plate with the salad and the other stuff. And people are picking at it and the hot dogs because Emily's so pissed. And there's just something about it that feels comforting. It feels like
and it's
comfort food. It's comfort food episode storytelling.
Yeah, and also it's just like we've all been on little trips like that with like friends where you're just sort of like you're piecing together the meal and you're all gonna sit down for this haphazard dinner and everyone started drinking during making of dinner and so it's everyone's a little loose and maybe a little emotional, tired from the car ride. You know what I mean? Like there's it's a familiar scenario and in shows that sometimes don't have familiar scenarios. And it's so interesting. Can you remember the last time that we've had like almost dueling trips on the same show like this, where it's like,
good question.
It's so interesting. Like there's four of them and five of them on the other trip. Like it's a split group on two separate trips. And I can't remember the last time that's happened, you know? And I think it's an interesting dynamic. We've had them at different events, obviously, but like spending overnight trips with each other. Where it's sort of like a split group. And it's not like it's split down the middle where it's like this side and that side. It's like an interesting mix of people on either trip.
I actually do kind of think it's a little split down the middle, but Jen, God bless her, is kind of attempting to hold Alexis, or she's trying to be reasonable with Alexis, which I really appreciate, where she's like, at what point do you put down your spear? Like, when are you going to stop hunting this woman? She's asking questions that to me a normal person would ask, which I appreciate. And I also really love the dynamic of the other women. Like I think it's positioned.
Like, no, I think it's great, but like Heather is more on like the Tamara and Alexis side of things in terms of how this clique is kind of going. And like she has conflict right now with Gina.
That's true.
You know? And so like it kind of is split, but it's not like a perfect split down the middle where we have like, it's not like a Jersey trip or something where it's like Team Melissa, Team Teresa on two different trips at the same time.
That's a good point. But it does also kind of beg the question of, is Heather really close with Alexis? Because I'm not getting...
I think they get more close as it goes on.
Oh, because they've told us that they've become close because their kids are in theater and they see each other through school activities
But we haven't
stuff.
Really seen scenes of them together, I guess. No. Oh, no, we haven't really. I mean,
just a little moment. Sort of vignette style, but we haven't seen the kind of bonding that we have with Heather and other cast members. And also I could be getting this wrong, but I don't remember Heather really voicing her opinion about how Alexis is speaking about Shannon the way Gina and Emily have. I think Gina, and that's not a criticism of Heather. I'm just saying, like, maybe it's because Heather doesn't want to involve herself that much or because she has this relationship with Alexis, but it is interesting to me. I wonder if that will change, because I would assume there becomes a point, we're getting there very quickly, where Heather is going to need to pick at least at some point one of the
or
sides.
Make her voice heard in that sense. Yeah, because I kind of think that her and Shannon had early in the season, I think maybe the second episode, they like went to dinner and it was like pretty tense and they didn't get along at that dinner. But I don't think Heather wants to like have a big open issue with Shannon anymore. I think that she like it. I kind of, my read on it is that she sort of wants her, she doesn't want to kick her while she's down, but she also doesn't agree with probably some of the decisions she's making. But she would just rather keep that to herself almost. That's sort of my read on that, sort of. But maybe I could be wrong.
I also think there's a difference in how, understandably so, members of the cast approach conflict with Tamra, for example, versus Shannon.
Yeah.
I think they can be more honest with Shannon, at least in voicing anger versus questioning her behavior. And with Tamra, God forbid you kind of trip over the trap wire, this woman is going to explode. I think some of these women understand that there is more safety in choosing conflict that doesn't directly involve Tamra. Mm-hmm. Because when you get close to disagreeing with her, she's just deeply intolerant of other perspectives. Mm. It's like a competition with her reality, and she's going to torture you to win.
Yeah. I think that's probably accurate. You by crossing Tamra, you're really risking a lot, honestly, at this juncture. And I think it's, you know, Tamra's getting all this heat for how she's treating Shannon. And I think a lot of it is warranted. But I also think if you were in Tamra's shoes, I mean, if I was in Tamra's shoes, I don't think I would be speaking to Shannon like Tamra is speaking to her in front of the group, but I would feel the same way as Tamra does feel personally.
Which is what?
Which is that, you know, you've been in the inner circle of this woman. You were apparently there for her after the DUI happened. You think that she should probably stop drinking, at least for the time being. She's not going to. You're doing the show all about drinking. I would probably want to distance myself as well.
But she's not distancing herself. She's leaning into like torturing
her. She's distanced herself professionally from her and the show.
That's true.
And their friendship. Mm-hmm. She does not, they don't have really a friendship anymore.
Yeah, but she's not disengaging. Like there's a difference between Mary.
I'm not saying I would treat Shannon in the way that Tamara's treating her, but I understand her feelings about it. Wanting to voice them.
I don't think I understand Tamra giving space in leaving the tour, that absolutely, and certainly dialing back in how they viewed their friendship with each other. But she's not lacking for time and effort when it comes to Shannon now in a way that is confusing, because you would think if this woman, if you find her energy, environment, life currently to be troubling or toxic, you would want to step out of that. And I do feel like Tamra is leaning in, which is counterproductive at best, and also really concerning of the way that Tamra feels she's allowed to punish this person because Tamra says, you know, she should have hit her lowest point. She should have hit rock bottom and this been a wake-up call.
Right.
And Tamra has decided that the only way of acknowledging rock bottom is her not drinking. Well, what happens if Shannon says, I am taking responsibility and I have chosen to continue to consume alcohol? Does that mean she has not learned a single lesson? That's what Tamara's trying to say. Yeah. She's also saying, like, you're a piece of shit. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I kind of think that she has not completely disengaged for two obviously separate reasons. One is because she is a very knowing housewife and wants to create moments at group events. That's obviously a huge aspect of it. But I also think that she wouldn't be stepping in if she didn't deep down still care about this woman. It's a very hurtful way of expressing that. But I almost wonder if like if she didn't care about Shannon anymore, I don't think she would engage at all.
See,
I'm not, that's not a defense. It's sort of like an unpacking of like how she's expressing her hurt and frustration, I guess, over the whole situation. I don't know. I'm trying to understand exactly why Tamra is treating her this way, which is not well.
I totally hear you. I just disagree.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I fully even understand. I don't think if I fully agree with what I'm saying.
No, yeah. And I hear you. And I think that's honestly an argument that Tamra will likely make, not to Shannon, but to Andy and other cast members at the reunion, of like, I get to do these things. I get to sorry for using the word, but sort of like abuse this woman because I care for her so much. Mm-hmm. I think that is the distortion in Tamra's mind that allows her to revel and relish in seeing this woman in maybe delicate moments or trying to upset her.
Yeah.
Because Tamra's trying to trigger her in the way that she's talking. We saw the trailer for this upcoming week's episode. She's trying about, at least I'm not driving into houses.
Right.
She's trying to say the worst possible things to provoke a response to me that has nothing to do with care, but that's going to be Tamra's explanation. Mm. I think that if she, and again, this is my projection, but if she cared about Shannon, which I know she did at one point, and was upset by Shannon's behavior, we would see upset, but we're not seeing that.
Yeah, you're
we're
right.
We're seeing
like
this
in other
woman
scenes, yeah.
relish and enjoy trying yeah. to humiliate her. And it's unfortunate because I don't want Tamra, I don't want Tamra to go back
off
to
the rails sort of thing. Yeah, yeah
because
especially
this is what got her fired the first time.
Yeah, she's a necessary presence on the show. Like she's brought it back from the dead.
But there's an expiration date. She's
making going too hard too quick for
yes,
sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've also been trying to sort of unpack the idea of like, you know, you have the one issue of Tamra and how she's treating Shannon post DUI and all that. Separately but related-ish is Tamra being really close with Alexis and via that sort of being on the John Jansen side of things, which is sort of is a separate thing, but it adds insult to injury in terms of how she's treating Shannon on about the DUI stuff. And it's like, is this a misreading of the room on Tamra's part? Is this like, she makes a living also by analyzing housewives on a show. And it's really interesting to me that this would be like such a big miscalculation. And where did that happen? You know what I mean? Did she really think that it was going to land well that she's doing both these things? It'd be one thing if she brought Alexis in, was kind of playing her bestie. And that was sort of like a way that she portrayed Shannon. But then there's also the mistreatment. And so I don't know. I don't know how to put that into words, but like, I'm sort of like, it doesn't add up to me that she like has made this big miscalculation about how this all would land. Kind of.
She's done it before. I mean,
I know, but like but not since having this podcast where like, you know what I mean? Like she's, I don't know.
I think that there's a separation of power for her in that. There's a separation of powers of like her work on the pod versus her full-time job, even though that pod is very lucrative.
She's able to analyze other people, but lacks a little bit of the self-awareness within it.
I mean, welcome to the club. Am I right?
Right. Of course. I mean, of course. It's a very human thing.
I also think it's a weird, complicated, frustrating decision to say Shannon's a piece of shit, which you could still say, but also say John is not great.
Yeah,
and her choice to minimize his toxicity as a way to lean into Alexis, Team Alexis, but also fucking with Shan is frustrating because you could hold two truths at once.
Oh my God, yeah.
I have issues with Shannon. I'm upset at her. I'm upset at her decisions. And also she was in a really toxic relationship, but Tamra won't do that because she has such a focus on dragging this woman that she's happy and energized by supporting a narrative that Alexis is saying, who has not been here for any of this, let alone their relationship. Tamra's leaning into that in a way where I'm like, you're too smart to be this dumb.
Exactly. Like she's letting Alexis go so unchecked, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's like, and it also doesn't help that Alexis is a friend of and has made her entire personality on the show Johnny J. Mm-hmm. Like there's no other aspect of her that we're seeing at all, and that's partially because she's a friend, but also partially because she's not just talking about anything else. And it's just like, it's crazy that Tamra's not questioning Alexis more on John and just how he treated Shannon over the years. But again, it's pushing this narrative, I guess it's pushing the agenda, but
Yeah,
that it's just crazy to watch.
And that John was the victim of his relationship with Shannon. Please. And this is a man who's so sweet and so kind and doesn't have a bad bone in his body, but is suing this woman, refusing to settle, wants to ensure it's as public and humiliating as possible, puts out a release so that people are aware that some of the money she borrowed and or was given was for a facelift. He wants to body shame her and humiliate her. What Tamra also does, there's a line in the episode where she says, like, he's been carrying dead weight for so long. And then she name checks a weight number that she's saying specifically as an attempt to body shame Shannon, which I was extremely not into. But also this whole idea, he's such a great guy. He's such a good guy. He would never do anything. He's like Christian and wonderful. The way they keep referencing his religious identity as a way to protect obviously poor behavior. But also he has video that he's going to release just because. Is this man at home? Because on social media, I don't know which content creator said this, because I was like, is he like secretly recording this woman?
Was it was
he
a Ring camera.
But it's something having to do with a Ring camera. Yeah. But to go through that footage, and do you understand how psychotic that is? To go through that footage and edit it, and also I don't have a Ring. Well, I mean, I totally have a Ring camera because security, but like people in New York, we don't have Ring cameras. But at a certain point, doesn't that stuff expire? So are you telling me that he was going back into the archives?
He probably took it out right away, I bet.
But how nuts is that?
Oh, yeah. It's obviously very conniving.
If that's, it's not just from the accident, it's from their relationship, right? So for him to...
Oh, I thought it was from the night of.
I think it's more than that.
Oh, my read on it, and I could be wrong.
And again,
wrong.
This is like a content creator thing, so I don't remember.
My read on it was that it was like from the hours leading up to the incident. That was my interpretation of what the video is going to be.
I don't remember if this was a combination of Tamra talking on Watch What Happens Live and also just seeing like a post on IG, which could be entirely wrong. But if it's right, because I... completely like missed the Ring moments. Part. It might be from other moments. And so for this man
to crazy.
Go back into the archives and find this stuff, first off, what's your participation in all of this? But also, you're telling me this is the like son of Jesus, like we must bow down. He's such a sweet man. Why isn't he more focused on being sweet to you then? Is this sweet to Alexis? Has she decided it's so distorted that he's standing up for her by standing up for himself? Like that's completely
fucked thinking. Like he's completely using her as a mouthpiece because he, you know, would have theoretically been off the show completely if him and Shannon had just broken up and like he went out into the ether. But then he obviously gets with Alexis, who gets back on the show. And now he has this like way of, you know, getting his perspective and point of view onto the show via Alexis. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to show his face at all because she's a friend of, so she has less of like a commitment to showing her entire life. Mm-hmm. And so he gets to basically hide behind her. And it's just so cowardly.
It is. And it just, it really, to me, does not make any sense. And it's just so frustrating, I guess, because it doesn't make any sense. And I'm just looking up the original post that I had seen. So it's saying that it was from, the night of the DUI and will ruin her life. So that's, it is from the night of the DUI, but it's all just so confused. And also this still... Because the DUI happened, I don't know when Ring stuff expires, but that still applies. He still had to save this stuff for a rainy day. This man watches this woman who he was at that point still sleeping with. They weren't dating anymore, but they were still...
They're sort of like petering out of their relationship.
Yeah, they were kind of still in each other's lives, and there was some sort of physical component. They were kind of testing the waters here. Neither of them, I guess, wanted to let go, or they tried, and then they came back to each other. So you're telling me that you're still involved with this woman in some way? She gets a DUI and right outside of your house, and your inclination is to save that footage because months after the fact, you're going to use it to threaten her. How do you process that? Like, how fucked and evil of a person do you have to be to think to yourself, I need to save this footage, not for the police, not for evidence.
To embarrass this woman.
But to embarrass this gal
who you were essentially inside 15 minutes ago. On a TV show that you're not on, but your new girlfriend is now.
On a TV show that he hates. And
yeah,
yet,
exactly. Yeah, he apparently hated being on the show.
You can tell. You can tell. He definitely has told his girlfriend, don't mention me because I'm a private individual. There's a
He
big
wants to
difference.
Have his cake and eat it too. Maybe he hates filming. Maybe that's totally accurate.
No, it's not.
I'm saying maybe.
He hates negative criticism.
Let's say it is.
Right.
But he still likes the power and the reach of sharing his warped perspective and everything.
100%.
Like he likes the power of the show. He likes the utility of it. You know, he wants to have his cake and eat it too.
He craves attention.
Yeah.
And I think a part of him also craves negative attention because it's still attention. But he has decided that he's the victim of negative criticism, which you're going to get regardless when you're a public figure.
Do you think he'll film the show at all this season? Do you think he filmed at all?
I mean, he was in that goddamn cell phone when he answered a FaceTime from Alexis. I know that's definitely not filming.
I don't count that as filming.
I don't know. It feels like he's just this
ghost. He's avoiding it, but he's also using it. It's crazy.
It feels like because she does not currently show us a personality outside of her identity as his girlfriend and like future wife, God help her, honestly. It feels like he's a part of the show.
Yeah, it does.
And it's so unfortunate because I think even if we saw film scenes with him, it would not be more John. It would still be the same amount of John because we can't get past John.
Which is so unfortunate, I think, on Alexis's part, because she had other things that she could bring to the show. We're just not going to see them. Like, I would have loved to hear about her and Heather, you know, bonding over both having queer children and that whole journey that they're on. Like, I would have loved to see, and maybe we will see that eventually, but like, it's been, what, 6 or 7 episodes of this season so far, and it seems like all she's... Literally, the only thing she's ever talked about is John. Literally. Like, she hasn't talked about anything else. And it's just like, wow. Like, she's letting herself be used by that.
Or maybe this is just who she is.
I'm not trying to give her too much credit. I'm just like, there had to be other things she can be talking about, but I guess not.
I also, in watching the newest episode, which was just so good, 9 million times, there was something that she said that genuinely made me so sad, which was, you know, her mom has passed away somewhat recently, and she said that he was the only person that was there for her. And I just thought to myself, it's so dark. She has been in a relationship with this man for 45 minutes, and her friends didn't step up, or she was
for
not interested in them stepping up when she lost a parent, and right on the heels also of a lost engagement. I'm truly not equalizing the two. I'm saying that the person that was her support system romantically was not in her life. So I don't know the timing between her breakup with her ex-fiance and when John entered the picture, but that does make me feel... that makes me feel sad for her.
It's all sad,
that she doesn't have other support systems, and maybe that's why she's fighting so hard. Because if she
overcompensating
is,
or something,
right? In a way that's like, it's tempting to say he's such a great man because he's stepping in all of these ways. But I also think, are you isolated or being isolated?
She's
or
blinders
isolating?
On at the very least. Yeah,
it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not great.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/AndySquirrels today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/AndySquirrels. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, "I love you," with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndyScrolls through December 31.
Can I ask you a question again about Orange County? And then I do want to get your thoughts on the New York trailer. This whole conflict or question about Emily and whether her behavior has changed. Mm-hmm. It's something that Shannon, with a little twinkle in her eye, was like, "I don't want to tell you this stuff, but some people have been talking." When she said that Gina and who was it? Gina and Jen.
I think Jen.
Gina and Jen, maybe. We're talking about. They did like a flashback.
Yeah.
We're saying that Emily has become a little bit of a mean girl and more aggressive because of her relationship with Tamara. Do you think that Emily has become more of a mean girl and more aggressive, number one? And two, do you attribute that to Tamara?
I think it's hard to say if you attribute it to if, I think it's hard to say that I attribute it to Tamara, but I definitely have noticed that I feel like Emily is very cutting her confessionals. And it's like, I think she hides it behind humor, but as a viewer, I've noticed, and before Jean even said this, I was noticing this. I was like, Emily's gotten a little bit mean with how she talks about people. And I don't know if that was like sort of some of the power of being a longstanding housewife going to her head or being more sure of herself. I don't know. But like, I did notice that before Jean even said that. And I don't know if that's because of Tamara or not, but I have noticed that she has been a little cutting this season in an extra way. Have you not noticed that?
I don't know. And I cannot commit to watching every episode this season over again because I've watched them so many times.
Yeah.
I think, to be very honest, I'm distracted by how much I enjoy Emily that I might not be picking up on her being especially cutting because I'm like LOLing. And
see, I'm not laughing as much as everyone else seems to be laughing.
Okay.
Like I've been enjoying Gina much more than I've been enjoying Emily this season.
So I'm enjoying both of them in different ways as different people, which is a huge growth considering how we felt about them. If you felt the same way when they joined the show, where it's like, this is a package and I don't love it. Now I feel like they're more individual, certainly more individual as people. And I really appreciate their,
their
stories. I don't know that I have felt that she's like especially bitchy potentially, but I also think there's ways that people can be funny, myself included, that can sometimes cross into a territory of like you're leaning in for the joke, not necessarily thinking of the person's feelings. And that's kind of what you potentially have to do just in general on Housewives. You need to share your opinion.
I have no problem with that.
It doesn't need to be mean.
I love like a little like edgy, a lot of edgy humor and like a little bitchy, but I don't know if Emily always toes that line for me personally on the
totally
right side
you.
Of that line,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to Heather, actually. I think that she like, it's like, remember last season, Heather threw that thing and her initials were everywhere and Emily like got really drunk and started
talking. Yeah, when she was like licking the lettuce
and like,
or whatever.
She did it the same. She was doing this. She does the same thing this season.
The cucumber.
Like, every time Heather throws any sort of event or brings a gift or like whatever, it's like a dog with a bone kind of when Emily talks about it. And I'm just like, okay, we've heard this a million times. Like, let's get over it. This is how Heather is. Her love language is gift giving, I believe. And just let her be that way. Like, it's just sort of like, she's not trying to rub her money in your face. Like,
she just has a lot of money. She wants to use it.
Totally. And like, that's where I started to notice it again this season. I was like, we're still talking this way about Heather, who doesn't have is not bad intentioned with how she throws these events. And like, Emily takes it that way. That's where I started to notice it again this season. But it felt like a step up. I just noticed it. That's how I felt.
Well, I do just need to add that, you know, she said this stuff about the Rolex, and it's a two-parter, because one part is, why are you wearing a dead Rolex, a broken Rolex? And the other part is, why aren't you selling it to pay your debts? And very important clarity, but Jen has since said on social that it's not that the Rolex is broken. It's just one of those watches that you need to wind every day. And she hadn't done that. And I did have a note to myself because I was like, you know what? I was dragging her a little bit for wearing a broken Rolex. And I did just want to clarify, because normalize changing your mind based on new information. I don't know how to respond to the, why are you wearing this stuff when you're, you know, broke, but it wasn't a broken watch. She just hadn't wound it. That to me made an impression.
Listen,
I don't know why. The dumbest
thing. I love Jen so
on.
Much. Like I have such a soft spot for her. I think she's a great housewife. Emily's also been mean about her. I'm sorry. Like, and I don't know. Like, I understand what Gina has sort of at stake in that whole thing. I don't understand what Emily has at stake and why she's so invested in Jennifer's finances.
Well, I think she feels like, what is this woman doing?
Yeah, but I think she talks a little bit mean about it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
Yeah,
it's like a little bit
uncaring, I think. Whereas like Gina, I think was uncaring, not uncaring. Gina was being harsh about it, partially because she was protecting her reputation in her business, whatever, all the stuff. Don't need to rehash that. But once she heard Jen's point of view, she kind of, you know, dropped it and like was more sympathetic to her in that moment at the beach event, whatever that was. Like that was sort of the breakthrough moment. I think Emily has still been a little bit pushing.
I really genuinely want to make clear that I'm not disagreeing. I do also think that I'm just sort of under her spell.
Yeah.
Because I really think
totally
she's so charming that I might not be feeling stuff to the extent that other people are, but I'm in no way discounting that perspective.
Yeah, I'm not saying you are.
I've heard it from people. I got a satchel from someone that was so good. It is going to be a part. I promise, I think, but I don't really know, because when I do satchel spectaculars on Patreon, sometimes they're like, I get through 10 satchels, sometimes I get through 3,
right,
and they're
right.
both hour-long episodes. You know, you've been on that pod before. So I hope that I can get into it on the next Satchel Spectacular of like, you know, why aren't you sort of addressing the mean girl energy of Emily? So I'm glad we've kind of started that conversation here, because I do need to think about it a little bit more. I really do. It's important to talk about.
I agree. And like, I think that like, maybe that's the kind of thing that like, I can totally understand if you're filming these confessionals, it's so easy to get carried away and just like sort of be in sort of like a little bit of a cutting bitchy mood. Like I get that way. And just like, you don't really realize how you're coming across. And like, maybe, I mean, again, Emily's always sort of towed that line. I think she's usually towed it pretty well. I just think this season it's on the other side of it a lot of the time. I think she'll probably watch it back and maybe agree a little bit with Gina. You know what I mean? Like, I think her and Gina do, they'll probably like, this will be a thing. There's a reason why they're showing us this like point of view of Gina that like Emily's changing a little bit. They'll continue to talk about it. But I bet you at the reunion, Emily will, or when I watch Happens Live, Emily will be like, you know, like if there were comments that I was making that didn't land. She's self-aware enough and she's able to like apologize and sort of be self-critical in that way, where I think that it's not something that she, like, whereas like Tamra, I don't know, Tamra doubling down, I think Emily will like be like, you know what? Yeah, I had my moments where I was like a little too mean this season.
I think Emily has a lot more capacity for growth and empathy, definitely, than Tamra does. Because Tamra's focused on how is this going to benefit me? And Emily, I think, is better at being an active listener. But I also think when someone displays characteristics that you may or may not find likable, I always get nervous of like the everyone's going to pounce on you potentially at the reunion. And then yeah, sure, you take responsibility and like maybe we'll change. But as viewers, do we really want that person to change? Because a part of this is accepting, understanding, and criticizing moments in which someone is behaving badly. So then I get nervous because it's like,
you want them to slightly recalibrate, but not completely.
But not totally.
Yeah, totally.
Because we need some shit
to
talk about.
Or at least recalibrate and then maybe like redirect the energy somewhere else, basically. Yeah, mix it up.
Before we wrap, I do just kind of want to get your thoughts on
the Roni trailer.
The Roni trailer, Pigeon Alert. How did we feel?
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Dramatic pause. Yeah. I felt it.
I think especially like considering we got that, and I was like, oh, this is like a pretty good trailer. And then we got the Salt Lake City trailer, and I was like, oh,
that's what good is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The pigeon thing was. My issue with the pigeon thing was that it wasn't totally clear like what the definition of pigeon was and that they were using it. I think it was like to be a gossip or like a bone collector kind of thing. Like, but like all of a sudden they're calling each other pigeon, and it's like, well, what do they really mean by that? You know what I mean? Like pigeon. Okay, but like what's the context here? It was a little bit overkill in a way that like wasn't fully explained. So I was like, what? But, you know, beyond that, if you get past the flock of pigeons, there are moments that made me kind of optimistic about it. I think that it seems like Bryn is really clocked in. Her and Uba being at odds, I think, is really promising. They're still at odds on social media as the trailer came out. Aaron opening up, you know, calling out her husband. The comment that she said, I didn't call her poor. Like, that just feels like the perfect Aaron controversy.
Yeah, that feels like, you know, that does feel like classic.
Total, like something she says was taken in that way. Maybe it was that way. That's so Aaron in a way that like I want to see. Mm-hmm. But other than that, what else? Sai was barely in it, I thought. I'm not sure what conflict Jessel's involved in. Rebecca Minkoff is saying no comment to the Scientology stuff, which is unfortunate. It doesn't look like any of them are calling out Jenna Lyons for not showing her relationship.
Or I think her family and maybe her apartment.
Yeah, so that's missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how they do this second season for themselves, but I'm not, the trailer didn't fully convince me that they did what needed to be done. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, if you want to see some incredibly depressing, distressing things about Rebecca Minkoff's family's relationship with Scientology,
I don't really go to do posts about that.
No, I don't want to be fair gamed.
Oh.
So Susan Zenu, if you're listening to this,
I'm not trying to go
big
down,
fan
I'm not
and
to
supporter
go
of your
hole.
Cult, like hole. Really. But that also begs the question, you're casting someone who has... who is a member of a really wonderful religious cult that is known for decades to abuse people. And that's me being positive because I don't want them to yell at me. But if you want to Google her father and really upsetting allegations of what has happened because of her family's relationship with Scientology, you can do that on your own. I do feel a little uncomfortable about this woman being added to the show and not kind of talking about, not uncomfortable right. between us, but like uncomfortable with the network casting someone. And it's not look, Jen Shah was on Salt Lake City for years.
I have
years.
No problem with her being on the show. I think if you want to agree with everybody who is on your on a Housewives thing, like it's not gonna result in great TV. I just think that she should have to explain it. That's what I think. Like, you know, if you have a problem with Rebecca Minkoff being on Real Housewives, do you have a problem with Tom Cruise being in movies still, Elizabeth Olsen being on
closing
TV shows,
the Olympics.
Like, it's like, it, I don't think that can be very select.
Wait, Elizabeth Moss.
Sorry. I'm
yeah,
tired.
No, I hear you.
Elizabeth Moss, like, I have no problem. These people are platformed. It's like, it's not, she's not using it to spread her gospel. That's like, whatever. But like, if she's, I do think that the cast should call her out on it. And that's where I think, that's where my issue comes in. I'm fine with her being on the cast, truly. Because it puts her in a vulnerable place. And if the other women would step up to the plate and question her, that's their job. And bring it up.
I think that's an absolutely valid point. And that gets to the heart of really my concern with this, is that the network normalizing stuff but not asking questions. And I'm concerned that the moment in the trailer of like
no comment
is going to be the entirety of this. And we don't know. This could be a larger part of a conversation. Are the women in the cast equipped to have it? I don't know, but that's also not necessarily their responsibility to do major research before going to film a scene.
But a pro housewife would do that research.
Yeah.
Lisa, you think Lisa Rinna wouldn't have done research on that and brought it up? Miss True Munchausen syndrome, reading the definition
from her
phone.
Would have found Shelly Miscavige and had her friend
up. You don't think
up.
The Salt Lake City women would have done that? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we just talked about everything's
screenshots,
fair game,
text,
right? Exactly.
Et cetera, like proof, yada yada.
I just, it's because she's this like probably famous designer, you know, and she's coming in. But I hope at least, let's say, they're in that helicopter to the Hamptons probably, and they're at, it's Brynn and Jessel asking her about it. What are you going to say? What should we say? Rebecca Minkoff says no comment. I hope that the package around that moment is some confessionals of the other women talking about Rebecca's involvement.
Yeah.
That's what I hope at least we get, because it shouldn't just, there has to be context given.
Right.
There has to be.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of having over the course of many, many years of watching these shows and seeing how the network navigates, just some advance concern.
Totally.
Of like
Mary
troubleshooting
Cosby.
In advance. Exactly. Troubleshooting in advance. Like, how is the network going to potentially cover this up versus really enable there to be conversations? And I don't have a lot of faith. But we'll see. We will genuinely see.
Yeah,
and
the
criticism that Psy went kind of viral for was saying
she's
just too nice. So it's like, if, you know, she might come in and just be this nice person.
I don't think
she's
gonna give us much. But what's the pregnancy thing?
Huh?
The pregnancy thing from the trailer where they're like talking about like how that's the whole part of the trailer where it's like Brynn is asking Aaron, oh, she's pregnant? It's part of the whole Maroney trailer.
Oh, I forgot.
And then Aaron tells Jessel, and then Jessel tells her mom, and then there's the moment of Rebecca being like, you fucking told her to Jessel? That's a whole part of the trailer.
Oh, I missed the pregnancy part of it. I thought it was so...
Yeah, it's like Jessel's telling her mom, like, yeah, she went out and got, like, whatever from some random guy, whatever.
Oh, like in a previous part of her life, not currently.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
It sounded like that, because Aaron says that's why she's not drinking.
Oi, I don't
know who they're talking about.
I don't know who they're talking about.
It's seemingly something involving Rebecca Minkoff, but I don't know what that is. But
oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like 30 seconds of the trailer.
Okay, wonderful. And I did do a reaction for it for Patreon.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think I've blocked it out of my mind
a
little bit because I was
very
distracted by the pigeons.
But I was just confused who they were talking about, because I was like, Rebecca Minkoff's not currently pregnant. I went on her Instagram.
Oh my God. When they do any kind of question of
but it's like
pregnancy, that makes me so
uncomfortable. I don't think it's questioning of the pregnancy, because like it sounds like it's a piece of information that somebody was told.
Okay.
And it gets out. The issue is that it was spread.
Okay. Well, I
that's
now,
that's what the trailer made it seem like.
Well, I guess I had the benefit of kind of skipping over that in my head. I'm yeah, not so against.
I
have no,
but I think that might be sort of like a red herring kind of thing where they're maybe talking about somebody else or whatever.
Like
but,
Ramona when she's taking a pregnancy test. And we're like, this is an LOL.
Totally. So
Well, listen, there are storylines to continue. And I think we really, you know, it's been a difficult maybe spring-ish and summer with some franchises that have kind of had some difficult seasons. I think of Vanderpump Rules and New Jersey specifically. And we're just heading into,
I think, a
really great fall. Yep. I just can't believe that Orange County and Salt Lake City, I just feel so happy that they're both going to be on air at the same time, plus some just bright energy from New York. It might not, doesn't need to change your life. It really doesn't.
I don't need it to, and I don't want to say it should. I just,
lower expectations.
You know, I think they had, given the reaction to the first season from a lot of fans, you want them to step into what Housewives is these days. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they don't. But like, it's going to be entertaining. I would love for them to have a big moment. You know what I mean? I just would, but I don't think it's going to happen this season yet.
I don't know that anybody's going to yell about cheese.
No,
but
we're not going to be blurring out or bleeping out catch again.
You know, what a moment that was, that hour and a half when we were all losing our shit trying to figure it out. Yeah. Listen, so was this episode. Gibson, tell the AGs a little bit about your podcast and where folks can follow you on social. Mention it all and more.
Yes, my podcast is called Gabbing with Gib. We have two new episodes every week on Tuesdays and Fridays. Generally, it's one interview with some reality talent and usually it's one discussion episode. Hmm. We've done a few less interviews this summer, just, you know, it's been a busy summer, but I have Caroline Stanberry coming up, Gina coming up. I have some good people coming up on the show. So definitely check it out wherever you get your podcasts, and you can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok and Threads and wherever the fuck else.
I just freaked out. I got so excited because I thought I got a message about something that we were talking about before, and it was wrong.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much. Listen, speaking of loss, you can gain a delightful Patreon exclusive AG by signing up today. I deep dive and have live reactions to the Salt Lake City trailer and also talk a little bit about New York. So you can listen to that episode now, which is exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers on Patreon by signing up or leveling up at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley and send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives, Bravo, yada yada, and more. Again, at Dame Galley. And if you have a thesis, please send me an email with an index and several pages at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. For both, please include your first name and town. Gibson Johns, thanks so much for coming back to the Clough.
Always a pleasure.
All right, guys, thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.